Our reading this morning is coming from the book of John. John 14, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 6. And I want us to do something different. This is something that the first service people tend to do. We are all going to read it together. So I would like you to stand up. All of us, should we get up and stand up? We are standing up to read the word of God in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to read, all of us, at the same time. John 14, verse 1 to 6. And if you're there, say, hey. Hey. You there. So let's start. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, you don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. This is the word of God. Amen. Now you may be seated. So as a church, we have been going throughout summer looking at the I am sayings of Jesus, which are mostly found in the book of John. And we have looked at how Jesus spoke to people at the time with his disciples, showing them, telling them, reminding them that you guys, you saw Moses in the Mount Sinai. When Moses came to meet God, God said, I am that I am. And he was walking, and Jesus is walking and telling his disciples that the I am that you saw, this is I am. I am the I am. So we have looked at I am the bread of life, where Jesus is reminding them that you guys, you had no bread, you had no food, you wanted a miracle to come, and I provided that bread. I am the bread that came. And he's reminding them again that there was a light, you had no darkness, you wanted to walk in the night. You see, in Jerusalem, where you go to celebrate the festival of light, I am the light, I am with you. And then we learned about the gate. I am the gate. I am the one that protects you when the enemies are coming. Jesus saying, I am the gate. We learned about that. And then we learned, I am a good shepherd. Not good because the opposite of good is bad, but I am good because if I come, I will take you to something beautiful. And so we've learned about that. And then we learned last week about the resurrection and the life. Jesus saying, I am the resurrection of life. Because there's a resurrection, then there is life for you and for me. And this week we are going to learn about I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just a little bit of context. At the time of Jesus, there were these groups called the Pharisees and the Essenes. Do we have the Pharisees and the Essenes? Yeah, no, those ones behind. Yes. Those guys literally believe that they would find a way by living a life through strict life observation of things. And so were the Pharisees. They believe that if we could just live right and follow the rules, then God will come. They too had students, and their students would often ask them, show us the way. And then they would say, walk and live like this. Just follow these rules and you'll be okay. Isn't that the same case today? This is happening today. People are opening TVs. They find a Dr. Phil or they find Oprah Winfrey or somebody telling them that just do this and you'll be okay. But good isn't that. Just good enough. Just being good. Could we move to the next slide? Yes. People are saying anyone can go to heaven. just be good. And we hear it all the time. If you do good and practice good things, we'll go to heaven. But we know in the Bible that Peter tried to do good. Just before the passage that we have read, Peter was asking Jesus, I would walk for you. I would die for you, Jesus. I would do anything. But you see, his way is not Jesus' way. Jesus says, I have to suffer. I have to take the cross. I have to die. It's not your way. It is my way. I will lay down for life, my life for you guys. And I know you, Peter, I know you want to do good right now, but you will deny me 3 times. Jesus predicted that. Doing good, trying to do good, isn't that just good for him? See, this happens to us as well. Like Peter, when he was trying to do good and he failed and he denied Jesus, he went back to what he used to do. He went back to what he was familiar with, which was fishing. The same happens to us. When we have tried doing good and we have hit the roadblock, what do? We go back to what we think we are better doing. We resent the things. But the Bible says, Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. This is not a morbid occasion, guys. He has gathered his disciples to teach them a new direction of life prior to him going on the cross, to understand the transition that he is having and they will also have. There's a time of transition, people. He has been with them, but now he's telling them, you guys, I'm going to be in you like a living well, sprouting out life. I'm going to be in you. He's saying to them, we are going to relate with each other on a different level. I've accomplished what I have with you. In fact, I will go and prepare a place that where I am, you shall be also. You see, he said this was going to the cross. I am going to prepare a place. And he says, you believe in God. You have believed in the God of Israel. He's begging them. You believe in God. Believe in me also. Believe me when I take you to places where you don't understand where you're going. And he's saying that to you as well. Believe me when I take you from London to Manchester, because I have a plan for you. Believe me when I change jobs. Believe me when your contract is finished and you have no income. Believe me, because where I am taking you, I will be there also. I know you feel embarrassed. I know you feel awkward. But during this transition, believe me. You see, when we are going through transition, we don't understand what God is doing. We are so devastated. But when we finish and look back, I know, how many of you have felt that? You have gone through so much rubbish and you don't understand why is this going on. But in the end, when you look back, you say, ah, I see, God, what you were doing. I have a daughter, Tia. We lived in Otringham area. I wanted her to get, sorry, Tia, I've mentioned your name. I don't owe you anything. We live in the Otringham area. I wanted so badly for her to go into the grammar school. I did everything a mother could do. She didn't go for summer holidays in some times, because I wanted so bad for her to go in there. It was the good school. It was the best school for me. But come the day, Tia missed by a point. And all her friends went in. Tia is not, she's all right in the head. She is. But all her friends went in. And I was devastated. I remember that day I was in the staff room. And I told them that she hasn't gone in. They were all feeling for me. I was sad. I said, God, why? But then we waited for the school. It was a battle. They gave her a school that was very far away and one of the worst schools in the area. And we said, nah. In the end, we sent her to school. She found herself in a nice school. But then My friends whose daughter, whose children were in this school came back and told me that I'm planning on removing my child from this school. It's like a marathon. I can't cope. I know me. I don't do marathons. I don't do homeworks. I know me. I know I would never have coped if Tia had gone in. See, it's so easy talking about faith until when storms come. They shake you. They make you question who you are, your faith, your identity. Because why? We define ourselves with now and not where we are going to get or where we are going. We even worry. Do you know the thing called worry? I know worry. Worry lives in my neighborhood. Worry lives around the students that I used to work with. Worry lives around people I know. Worry comes at 2 a.m. in the morning when you're just about to sleep. Worry tells you, you can't afford it. You're nothing. You can't do it. You're rubbish. Do you know worry? He comes in all sorts of languages and forms. He troubles your heart. But Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled. He's saying, resist the temptation to be troubled. A restless spirit is a very dangerous spirit to have. An ease spirit, very dangerous. Why? Because when you're at ease, you make decisions that are wrong. You make wrong decisions. And this is why Jesus, when he was faced by the storm at the sea, he said, peace, be still. He had to ask for peace. You need peace to operate as a child of God. You need peace to operate in the storms. Because when you worry, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, you are worshiping the words of our enemy. Worry brings God down. And I've learned that worrying doesn't stop bad things from happening to me. It just stops me from having a good time with the good things God has given me. And he says, in my Father's house, there are plenty of mansions. There are plenty of rooms. God is bigger. God is mightier. God is bigger to accommodate each and every one of us. God is bigger to accommodate the prostitute. God is bigger to accommodate the rich man. God is bigger to accommodate the vulnerable woman. God is bigger. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it wasn't so, I would have told you. God is bigger than what you think of. I do not have to be jealous or envious of what somebody else has. What they have is what they have. Their gifting is their gifting. Their anointing is their anointing. God has created me specifically for a purpose. And that purpose, only you can fulfill that. There is no need to be envious or jealousy